Matthew chapter 8, and I will read verse 5 onwards. Matthew chapter 8, from verse 5 onwards. Now when Jesus had entered Capernaum, a centurion came to him, pleading with him, saying, Lord, my servant is lying at home, paralyzed, dreadfully tormented. And Jesus said to him, I will come and heal him. The centurion answered and said, Lord, I'm not worthy that you should come under my roof, but only speak a word and my servant will be healed. For I also am a man under authority, having soldiers under me. And I say to this one, go, and he goes. And to another, come, and he comes. And to my servant, do this, and he does it. When Jesus heard it, he marveled and said to those who followed, assuredly, I say to you, I have not found such great faith, not even in Israel. And I say to you, that many will come from east and west and sit down with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob in the kingdom of heaven. But the sons of the kingdom will be cast out into outer darkness. There will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Then Jesus said to the centurion, go your way, and as you have believed, so let it be done for you. And a servant was healed that same hour. Praise be to God. Now, when you see this chapter here, where Jesus talks about the healing of the centurion and how it happened and all these things, there's something very important Jesus Christ says over here, which many people, even though they've read these sections, some of them, many of them, they have not even read the Bible. Now, all they read is other people's books and they swallow and regurgitate satanic teaching. Now, with what God has given, I'm just going to say this in passing as the Lord wants me to, so that you know what God has here and you can be clear when someone speaks to you and they say, well, if you are a child of God, God will never send you out of the house, just like, because no one can pluck you out of the Father's hand. And if you're a son, he's not going to kick you out of the house, where God says over here very clearly, if your life doesn't match the word of God, that means if you don't look like your father and do what your father is doing, if you do the opposite and do what his enemy is doing, God says the sons of the kingdom, the heir, will be cast out. Where will he be cast out? He'll be cast out right to where he belongs, not in the Father's house, but where his enemies are. If they join with his enemies and they challenge the Father, and then they say that, well, because I'm your child, you have to keep me here. God says, oh, no, no. If you become a traitor, if you be someone who is inside my kingdom and you think that you are still inside while you are with the enemy and you operate against the kingdom of God by your actions, by your words, by your mannerisms, by your conduct, by your associations, God says, God will cast them out. And where will he cast them out? He will cast them out into outer darkness. That means a place far away from heaven, not where the light is. Absence of light is darkness. So God, he pushes them out. He casts them out into outer darkness. And what else will be there? There'll be weeping and gnashing of teeth. So we must understand that if we live like the devil and if we behave like the devil, act like the devil, talk like the devil, which is being angry, being immoral, being vicious, being crazy, being hypocrite, being a liar, being a thief, and being an adulterer, and being a person who is jealous, and being a person, you know, with two-faced, show yourself to be this here and show yourself to be that there, being a hypocrite, being someone who is partnering with Satan. That means Satan has a common ground in your life and you are co-laboring together with Satan. And God says such people, even though they once were his children, they will be taken out from where they are, and they'll be thrown where they rightfully belong. That's where they chose to be, and that's where they'll be sent. And so Jesus mentions that here, very important, in the midst of this great healing that is taking place, Jesus is bringing this very important truth. Now, there are a lot of people who can twist what Paul said, what Peter said, what Andrew said, what James said, and whatever anyone said. But you have the words of the Lord Jesus Christ here, which is straightforward. You can't twist that. You can't turn that. You can't play with that. They try to take the words of the Lord Jesus Christ and they try to twist, but you can't when you have verses like these. It doesn't even make sense, but still. When a person wants to partner with evil, they will look for scriptures that will support their evil behavior. And so we need to have this in mind and know that, as Jesus said, who will come? Many will come from the east and west and sit down with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob in the kingdom of heaven. This is talking about eternity, eternal life. People will come and sit. Who? People from faraway places. They will come and they will sit where? Right next to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. That means people who are not part of the family, they become part of the family and they will go and sit. But the original seats that were there for the people who are actually the family members, those people won't be sitting there. And in their place, the people from the east and from the west and all the people who are not part of the original family, now they all came in. Know why? Because they had faith. Now, this is very important. Faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. I've spoken many times on this. There are many messages on faith, many, many messages, and you can listen to all of them. It will really, really profit your soul. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. Impossible. That means when God tells you to do something, if you don't have faith, you're not going to do it, because you bring in that human reasoning, which is tainted by the devil, because that human reasoning comes from Lucifer's voice, which will say, no, I'm not going to do this. No, I don't believe in this. No, I don't agree with this. No, I'm not going to do this. No. It's the voice of Lucifer that has gotten into the heads of many sons of Abraham. When they heed to the voice of Lucifer, what happens is that voice becomes louder and louder and louder. God is speaking at this hour. I want you to pay close attention to what the Spirit of God is speaking. When you allow the enemy's voice to dominate your life, when even a small portion, that voice will become stronger and stronger. That's how delusion comes in. When you allow that voice to dominate your life, even a small area, and you begin to submit to that voice will become stronger and that voice will expand itself into other areas of your life. So you have to be very careful. Jesus talks about faith here. What kind of faith? Faith that actually believes that my God is able. What is he able to do? He's able to bring down my mountain. We say that, but do we really believe that? When the mountain actually stands before you, what do you say at that point? Oh, well, I'm not going to actually waste my time on talking to the mountain because I don't think that's practical. Jesus said that, and maybe his timing is different. Maybe he talked about a different mountain. Maybe, you know, how many times people bring all kinds of excuses to cover up the lack of faith? God is speaking to our hearts today. We need to understand that without faith, we will not make it. This is why it's important for us to go from faith to faith. You know, when a baby is conceived in the womb, there's this growth process that takes place from 4 weeks to 8 weeks to 12 weeks to 16 weeks to it keeps going. And according to the number of weeks the child is in the womb, the child is supposed to grow. You go from the size to the size to the size. In every area, the child has to grow. You know, from the heart to the brain to the organs, everything. The child has to grow. Now, if that doesn't happen or if that's not happening, what'll happen is it can actually end in a miscarriage. So conception is very good. Even making some kind of progress is very good. We can't be satisfied. We can't just say, oh, we made a lot of progress then. Now, don't stop there. You got to keep growing. And so in order to keep growing, you need to have faith. Going from faith to faith is very important because there's a long way to go. If there's a long way to go, then you need greater amount of faith as you grow. And this is where your faith will be put to test. When the faith is put to test, how do you respond? How do you react? How do you act? Will all be open, bare before the Lord God Almighty. And that's why the Spirit of God, as he grieves that, he says, okay, you need to repeat. Yes. If you have to repeat, you have to repeat so that you pass. But if you repeat it 10 times and you don't learn anything, there's a problem at that point. First time something happens, you say, okay, something happened. God, I'm not going to make this mistake ever again. Help me. And you work at it. You're going to make progress, good progress, when you make that your priority. So faith is not something that you say, okay, I have it here. And because I have it here, I know I have faith. No, having it here is not faith. Knowledge is not faith. Knowledge is good, but knowledge is not going to give you faith. Faith, as we saw Sunday, it comes from God. It's power that comes from God to believe for the extraordinary things, which you can't and you won't be able to believe without it. In the natural realm, you will not be able to. So you look at Abraham himself, he grew from one faith to the other. From the time God called him, the faith that was imparted into him as a result of his response to God and his continued response to God as a result of his obedience to God, his faith grew from one level to the other, from one level to the other. It kept growing and came to a place where he became the father of faith, Abraham. That's why here, Jesus mentions his name. Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, all three are people of faith. By faith, Abraham inherited his promise that God gave to him. By faith, Isaac inherited the promise that God gave to Abraham and Isaac. Now, by faith, Jacob inherited the promise given by God to Abraham, Isaac, and then to Jacob. If you look at it, each one of them individually got their promises from God. Now, the original promise was given to Abraham, and from Abraham, that promise came down to Isaac, and from Isaac, that promise came down to Jacob. Now, these three are so important because each one of them had to make a choice to trust God all the way through. And they did. Because they trusted God, God was able to do significant things in their lives. And because of their faith in God, you see, the blessing of God that came upon Abraham, the blessing of God that came upon Isaac, the blessing of God that came upon Jacob. Now, Jesus, when he mentions, he's mentioning very specifically with a purpose, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And who are these people who are going to come and sit with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob? People of faith. If we don't have faith, we will not be able to sit with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. In heaven, we have people of faith. We need to have faith in God, faith to do that which God has called us to do. Now, you look at the centurion. The centurion is not a Jew. He is a Roman centurion. Even though he is a Roman centurion, Jesus says this, people like him, they're going to sit right next to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. An outsider, not an insider, outsider. And Jesus says this, look at his faith. This faith is astounding faith. You know why? He was not someone who had a history of miracles. Where? His ancestors came through the Red Sea, his ancestors ate manna from heaven, none of those things. But now, within the brief period that he heard about Jesus, within this brief time of the ministry of Jesus, the centurion, when he heard that news that came to him, faith comes by hearing, what was that news? Testimony of people. Many testimonies from people who got healed. His faith got built up in a tremendous way. And he comes to Jesus and he tells Jesus something very important. Jesus says, I will come. He didn't say, well, I only came for the Jewish people, you see, and so I'm not coming to your house. And you are not only just a Roman, you're a Roman centurion, and so I'm not coming. He didn't say that. When Jesus heard this word, he said, I will come and heal him. I will come and heal him. This is the love of God we see even before he died on the cross. For God so loved the world. Yes, he came for his Jewish people, but he also came for the Gentiles. And the Gentiles who came to him and who believed in him, he was willing to do anything for them. God is speaking at this hour. When you believe in God and when you are coming to God and you say that my hope is in you and I'm trusting you for this, God will do anything for you. In this month of May, God says, when you trust God with all your heart and lean not unto your own understanding. Very important verse. This verse, many people know this verse by heart. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not unto your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him and he shall direct your path. But you really have to see the meaning of this word and how it actually connects with your life. Trusting the Lord with all your heart, that means whatever God says. And don't lean unto your own understanding. That understanding has to be brought down. Trusting God and bring our own understanding and try to mix the two and try to spiritualize it will end up in a disaster. God is speaking at this hour. We can't bring our own understanding, our own reasoning, and our own two cents and add that with the wisdom of the Almighty God. God will say, oh no, 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 no. That doesn't work that way. He will not let his wisdom to be tainted by our folly. Doesn't happen. When will he direct our paths? When we trust him with all our heart and put down the human understanding. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. All your heart. That means 100%. You trust God 100%. Not 70%. You know, sometimes some people, when they trust God 50%, like, I'm trusting God 50%. And what happened to the other 50? Don't talk about it. How are you going to grow? Trust in God with all your heart. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Trust in him. Trust in him with everything that is within you, which means don't lean on your own understanding. Put that away. Trusting God is trusting God wholeheartedly. Don't bring your thoughts and your ideas and your intuition. That your intuition, if it is void of God, it is led by Satan. There's nothing as I'm doing it on my own. Every thought is influenced by the Spirit of God or by a demonic spirit. You have to understand. You're either submitting yourself to God Almighty or you're submitting yourself to Lucifer. We have to understand this. Very important. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not unto your own understanding. And that own understanding, when it's influenced by Lucifer, it's no longer pure. It's no longer holy. It's not going to lead you in the right direction. It will definitely not lead you in the path of life. That's why Psalm 1 says, blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly. And that counsel and that own understanding, if it is not from God, if it's not influenced by God, if it is not supported by God, if it's not led by God, if it's not fed by God, if it's not surrounded by God, then it is being sustained by a dark force. We need to be very clear on that. Now you look at this centurion. He heard what Jesus did. And he believed in what Jesus did. He is a man who had 100% faith. Someone who was actually convinced that he can do this for my servant. And he doesn't even have to come there. How did this centurion, who was a Roman centurion, get such a revelation that even the people who had this rich history of miracles didn't get it? They didn't get it. That's what Jesus says over here. You guys, you didn't get it. Look at him. There's something to learn from there. Faith that comes from God is a faith that will cross borders. It is a faith that will raise the dead. It is a faith that will see beyond what the natural eyes can see. See, natural eyes will always look at the natural realm. They'll say, okay, this is what it is, A, B, and C, and if you don't have this, you won't be able to do this, and if you have this, you'll be able to do that, and all those calculations and experience and all these things. Now, experience and all those things are good, but it won't work in the kingdom of God. It never worked in all of history. When it comes to the kingdom of God, God will say things that are completely opposite to human mind. Because it doesn't work. Flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God. Jesus did something very opposite to what anyone would have done. Which is what the disciples did, right? Send them away. Send them home. Send them home. Send them home. Send them home. But he knew what he was going to do. He said, give them something to eat. Oh, Jesus. Jesus doesn't know any. This is the height of folly. We've seen that so many times. When the disciples think that they know more than the master. When the disciple says that, oh, no, no, it's not going to happen. Jesus very politely just tells them, just make them sit down. Go do that. Just go do that. God is a God of the impossible. And he has a plan. God has a plan. When God has a plan, God works according to his plan. Not according to your plan, not according to my plan. If we're walking with God, our plan will be his plan. That means we have no plan until his plan comes down. And then for many people to stay put until his plan is revealed is an impossible task. But it's important to know that. Sitting down at the feet of Jesus, receiving it from him and then doing it his way is the successful way. Then he will direct our paths. And so we see here, the centurion, he has a circumstance, an impossible circumstance, where his servant is paralyzed, dreadfully tormented. Now he has something that the doctors there were not able to heal. Some deadly disease he has. And the disease carries torment, tremendous torment. And so he comes to Jesus and he is pleading with the Lord for this. He says, Lord, my servant is lying at home, paralyzed, dreadfully tormented. That's all he said. When he said that, Jesus answered, he says, I will come and heal him. Now, we have to know that there's this common protocol that God follows, and then there are other times he does other things. So when you look at Jesus, he goes to certain people, you know, to their homes. When they come and they ask him, Lord, I want you to heal me. When we have a need, we must reach out. We should never say that, if God is God, let him reveal. And if this is God's servant, then they should know. No, we can't play like that. If we have a need, we should get the help that we need. We need to. Just like how when we're physically sick, we go to the doctor. Spiritually, when we have a need, we have to reach out. And we see here, the centurion had a need. His servant had a need. The servant obviously cannot come and ask for himself. The centurion was someone who was responsible for him, and he needed him. He cared for him. He said, I'm going to go. A busy man, but this is too important for him to not go. And he came to Jesus. He was a Roman centurion, but he's coming to this Jewish healer, the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, the centurion, what is he doing? He's crossing every border that he shouldn't cross according to the standards of this world. He's going to this Jewish leader
the Lord Jesus Christ, the healer. The common people all heard him gladly, and Jesus was accepted by all the common people because of the anointing of God that was upon him, the tremendous power of God that came from his body. All those who touched the hem of his garment, his clothing, they got healed. And this Roman centurion, he's coming to Jesus Christ. He has a need, and he says, I'm going to go to Jesus, and I'm going to talk to him about the situation. And Jesus was a very busy person. Many people needed healing, and many people were around him. But he stopped to pay attention to this centurion. God is speaking at this hour. No matter where you are and what you may be going through, no matter how difficult it may look like, when you come to God, and when you come to God with your need, he will stop everything for you, and he will pay attention, close attention to what you're seeing, what you're saying. And while he is paying close attention to what you're saying, there'll be one thing he will look for, and that one thing is faith. When he sees faith, he dispatches the answer to what you're looking for immediately. That's who our God is. He hears us. Reach out. When you need to reach out, you need to reach out. When you need prayer, you should ask. It takes humility for that. It takes also diligence. And if it's important, you're going to ask. It was important for him, even though he was a Roman centurion, he knew that this healer, the Lord Jesus Christ, is here. I need to go. I need to ask him. And he came to him and he asked him. He said, My servant is lying at home, paralyzed, dreadfully tormented. Very important here that every single one must understand. When you come to the presence of God, when you come to the servants of God, when you come with a need, you have to be honest. At that time when we are in need and when we want a miracle, we should be truthful. We should not cover up, and we shouldn't try to play good, and we shouldn't try to make everything look good and say, I have this need, and meanwhile you're hiding a big lie underneath because you want to present an image. God will not work in your life, because where lies are, God will not work. That integrity and the truth is what God is looking for. This man came here and he clearly spoke to Jesus exactly what was happening with his servant. He said, my servant is lying at home, paralyzed, dreadfully tormented. He said so beautifully exactly what was going on. No cover up here. I don't want to look bad. I don't want, you know, Jesus to feel like this was happening in my home. And this, many times Satan keeps people bound to sicknesses, bound to family problems, bound to all kinds of things because they want to present an image. I want to look good. I don't want to look bad. I don't want, you know, pastor to think this, or I don't want someone to think this. And what do they do in the process? They're killing themselves. Satan's very happy. He says, hey, keep going. Because as long as you're dishonest, God cannot work. As long as you're not truthful, God cannot work. And so you see integrity in this centurion. Where he comes, you see humility, you see integrity. He was in need. He knew that. He was in need. And so he came to Jesus and he said, Lord, you see humility. My servant is lying at home, paralyzed, dreadfully tormented. And he would have said a few more sentences, but Jesus spoke right away. When he said one sentence and before he could finish, Jesus said, I will come and heal him. Because Jesus saw truth in his heart. He said, I'll come and heal him. The centurion answered and said, Lord, I'm not worthy that you should come under my roof, but only speak a word and my servant will be healed. For I also am a man under authority, having soldiers under me. And I say to this one, go, and he goes, and to another, come, and he comes, and to my servant, do this, he does it. When Jesus heard it, he marveled and said to those who followed, assuredly I say to you, I have not found such great faith, not even in Israel. I want to stop right here, as the Holy Spirit wants me. I'm just going to take you quickly a few verses about this. and point out some things that the Spirit of God wants me to point out. Well, this servant hears the word of the Lord Jesus Christ, and the Lord Jesus says, I will come and heal him. So you see this original plan of God, which was to come and heal this man. Jesus was going to go to the centurion's house, and he was going to heal this man. We need to know one thing. Faith can actually move things in a quicker span of time. Faith can actually bring answers from heaven in a whole different way, different than what we can think, imagine, or even project. When we exhibit that great faith, we're actually moving God to do something swiftly. I want to say this again as the Holy Spirit wants me to. Faith in God, when it's manifested before God, and that faith is a faith that can actually move God to do something then and there, God does it in a supernatural way. Now, you had people in the Bible who came and who said, Lord, touch me. Jesus touched them and Jesus healed them. Then you had the people who actually touched the hem of the garment of Jesus. They got healed. Not just the woman with the issue of blood. There were many people, the Bible says, who touched the hem of the garment of Jesus, who touched his clothes. They all got healed. Faith. They all had faith to touch Jesus. They knew that if I can only touch his clothes. And that's how much they believed that Jesus had the power to heal. Even his garment carried his anointing. Faith. A good amount of faith it takes to touch the clothes of Jesus. Now you see here, the centurion actually, he's not a Jewish person, but his faith was even greater than that. Greater than the faith of the Jewish people. There was the Jewish people who went and touched the hem of Jesus' garment. There was good faith. But this faith is greater than that faith, which surpassed the faith of the children of Abraham there. What was it? He had this understanding that if Jesus says something here, miles away, where the servant is, Jesus saying a word here, that servant will be healed. You call that great faith. Not only that, he had this concept that he had power over the sickness. And the sickness is something that can actually hear the voice of Jesus. Can actually hear the thoughts of Jesus. And will obey the command of Jesus. I want to say it again. It's very important for you to understand. To have the understanding that the voice of Jesus, the words of Jesus, the thoughts of Jesus can actually command that sickness, and that sickness has ears to hear, and the sickness will obey and it'll bow down and go. You think about that. For him to have that kind of an understanding, that kind of a thought is not an ordinary thing. It's not an ordinary thing where this centurion, who was this Roman commander, who had 100 soldiers under him, he is talking about his position, how he talks to his soldiers, and he tells them to go, and he goes, and he tells them to do this, they do it. There's an important principle here he is speaking, which is the power of authority. He has authority over the soldiers, and the soldiers do what he tells them to do. It also shows that the soldiers listened and they obeyed. He had power over them. They listened and they obeyed. And he is translating that to Jesus and the disease. Now, Jesus part, you can understand, okay, Jesus, he is powerful and he has power. He touches, or somebody touches him, they get healed. Okay, but what is this? This disease, somewhere else. Can it hear? And he is somewhere else. This is not like you speak on Skype or you speak on WhatsApp or you speak on some long distance, you know, FaceTime or whatever, where you can actually hear the voice of someone to even respond. To have that concept of the sickness, first of all, being able to hear. And secondly, for Jesus Christ, who is miles away, for him to say something here, for that sickness to even respond from there. You must understand this. The man knew one thing. With this Jesus Christ, and for that disease that is under the lordship of this Jesus Christ, even distance and time, they come under his control. When he says something or thinks here, whatever he is commanding to depart from there must go. This is great faith. He's saying, Lord, you don't have to come to my house, because he said the first thing, which is, Lord, you are so great. Yeah, I'm a centurion. I'm the ruler of 100 soldiers. But you rule over everything. You rule over everything, which includes time and space. You rule over everything, which includes this dreadful disease that my servant has. You say a word here and that disease is gone over there. It's gone. It'll be gone. So you don't have to come, Lord. Now, Jesus knows that. But he's not going to say something to someone who doesn't have the faith for it. But he is manifesting that faith, that he was ready for such a miracle. You can actually speed up that which God wants to do in your life by expressing great faith. Not in an untimely manner. Not try to bypass the will of God, but within the will of God. Within God's prerogative. Within God's sovereign will. You can actually cause things to move faster in the spirit realm. When you truly trust God and believe that this is possible, that he has control over time, he has control over space, he has control over your situation, he has control over your body, he has control over your finances, he has control over your children, he has control over your business, he has control over your soul, he has control over your mind, he has control over everything. And you yield yourself to the lordship of Jesus Christ. That's the key. If you don't yield yourself to the lordship of Jesus Christ, he's not going to control anything. He doesn't have to, because your will is involved. But the moment you say, Lord, you be my Lord. Lord, you say a word. At that point, he'll say, I'll say, because it's my will. God is speaking at this hour in your life. Whatever is troubling you, you can bring it to Jesus. You can lay it at the feet of Jesus. And you can trust God for God to do mighty things in your life. He makes a way in the middle of the sea. He says a word and the storm stops, comes to a full stop. He makes a road in the desert. He does all kinds of wonders. Now this God is looking at you today and he says, what do you believe me for? According to faith, I will do it. What are you looking to me for? According to that faith, I will do it. The centurion said, Lord, I know you can do this, but I believe for this. And Jesus said, well done, you believe for that, you get that. Not only that, he just turned around and he told his people, look, I've not seen this kind of faith in any of you guys here. This is a rare gem. Yes, it's a Roman, but the faith that is inside of him is a faith that received much more from God. God is going to heal him. You know what? He saved Jesus the time. He saved his travel. And he, above everything, showed before the people how small he was before this awesome King Jesus, where Jesus Christ, the healer, the creator God, is standing before this Roman centurion, and he says, I'll come to your house, I'll heal him. And he says, Lord, I'm not worthy. You're so great, I'm so little. For your feet to touch my house, Lord, I'm not worthy. You just say a word. You say a word, and my servant shall be healed. Say a word here, and he gets healed over there. You know, the power behind it. The guy is not even here. He's all the way over there. How can that happen? But he knew that it will happen. And he knew that he's all powerful. More powerful than him. And he's so little before him. And this powerful God is willing to come to his house. To this humble man's house. Even though he was a Roman centurion. He knew that in front of Jesus, he's so tiny. See, the more we come closer to God, the more we'll feel tinier. The more we get closer to God, the more we see his majesty. There's no room for pride. That's when you know that you're really getting closer to God, because you see more and more of his glory and majesty. He's so awesome. And he looks at Jesus, the centurion. He says, Lord, I'm not worthy that you should come under my roof, but only speak a word and my servant will be healed. Two things I want to say here. One is, his understanding of who he was before this Almighty God. That he's big, I'm little. It's very important for every single person to constantly understand that and remember that. He is big. I'm so little. Number two is, I can go to this big God and I can ask him. He's not only big, but he's all loving. I can go to him and I can ask him. I can ask him, Lord, not only heal my servant, but say a word. I can ask him. I can confidently ask him, knowing that he's such a loving God that he's not going to say, what in the world are you saying? And who do you think you are? I told you that I'm coming to your house and now you're telling me what to do. None of those things. You know, the beautiful part in this is he knew that this Jesus Christ, even though he's all powerful and he has control over everything that is there, he had that understanding. And even about and beyond that understanding, the second point is, his understanding of the character of Jesus. How loving he was then, how humble Jesus was. He knew that he was not going to put him down. But what he asks from Jesus, Jesus will give it to him. He had such faith. See, true faith will have no arrogance. True faith is void of pride. True faith is void of that me, myself, and I. True faith will actually see the awesomeness of God. And true faith will also see the character of God, the power of God, and the nature of God. I want to split this into two, the very same two points, under two categories, which is what God has and what God is. Even though these two can be interchanged, you need to understand what God has and what God is. If it is understood what God has and who he is, if it is understood by you, you can actually move mountains through this faith that comes from God. Now, how did this centurion get this faith? We know that faith comes from God, right? Faith comes from God. Faith to believe and faith to receive comes from God. Now, with what God has given, what we do and how we multiply it, how we go from faith to faith is very important. So the centurion heard the testimonies and heard what God did, and he came to receive the healing. Now, if you look at the centurion's faith, in his faith, you see, he has faith that Jesus is Lord, and he's Lord over everything, including himself, his own life. He is the God of power. What he has, what God has, his power. He's power himself. Who he is, he's all love. That love is full of humility. That you can go and ask him anything at any time. He's never going to put you down. He's never going to push you away. He's never going to say, told you, Matt, you don't know what you're asking. No. He's such a gentle God. When, even when you come and blurt something and blabber something, he gently corrects you. This is who our God is. So this Roman centurion, even though he was Roman, even though he was a centurion, can feel like, after Jesus said, I'll come and heal him, can I just tell him that I don't want you coming to my house because I really feel that you are such a great God and you coming to my house, I don't even say that. He said he's going to come, and he didn't let fear dominate him because he understood the nature of Jesus Christ, which was love. He knew that Jesus is all love. He's all power, but he's all love. He's all love, full of humility. If he came and he humbled himself, being a ruler over 100 soldiers, this is the Lord Almighty, who is a ruler of everything. And he knew that he is a ruler of time, space, distance, everything, disease. And he saw the love of Jesus. And he knew how humble Jesus was. And as he approached Jesus, he approached him with this understanding that this Jesus is never going to cast me away. Yes, I'm a Roman. Yes, he's all powerful. I only have power over 100 people here. But he has power over everything. I'm not here to teach him anything that he doesn't know. No, that's not what he was trying to do. He was a very humble man, this Roman centurion. He was requesting him. He said, Lord, this is what happens with me and my subjects. I know how powerful you are. You don't have to come, Lord. If you can just say a word, my servant will be healed. Now Jesus is seeing his faith. Where is his faith coming from? His faith is coming from God, bringing his understanding, the understanding of who God is and what God has. That means what he's capable of doing. The power of God, how powerful he is, and how loving he is. He knew that he was never going to push me away. He's never going to push me away. He's never going to put me down. I can ask him. And he had the wisdom to ask. And what he asked of Jesus touched the heart of Jesus. And Jesus marveled at his faith. He said, wow, you're a Roman, but you got it. You got it right, centurion. And he said, your servant shall be healed. You go. According to your faith, it's done. He brought great joy to Jesus. And he got his wishes answered. he happily went back home. But I want to highlight one more thing from here, which is faith to receive, faith to touch the heart of God. See, there are people who touch him. You know, God healed. Many God healed. The reason why the woman with the issue of blood was written there, because with her physical condition, for her to be able to even believe that this is possible, because she got so disappointed by all the doctors that she went to spend so much money, and physically she was in a hopeless situation, and with that smell and with the weakness and with everything, with social stigma, her faith was so strong. She said, I'm going. No matter who will try to push me down, I'm going. And she made her way to where Jesus was. And she touched the hem of the garment of Jesus. And what did Jesus do? He stopped everything and he asked, who touched me? Because, it's not because, you know, he didn't know. Because he's going to use her life as a testimony in front of people to show how she was moved by faith to come and receive her healing. So Jesus made her an example to the rest of the people. Daughter, your faith has made you whole. She came with an intention, and we see in that scripture portion, the Bible says, she told herself that if I can only touch the hem of his garment, that's all it. That means a tiny portion of that dress, tiny portion of his clothing, I'm just going to touch that and I know I'll be well. So she came and she touched the hem of his garment and she was made whole. Good amount of faith, that strong faith. This man's faith even surpassed that. He said, you don't have to come. I came to you, but my servant is not here. You say a word, and my servant shall be healed. There are people who came and touched the hem of his garment. They got healed. They went home with the healing. The people who wanted healing, Jesus touched them. They all went home with the healing. Good. They all got healed. But the centurion was someone who touched the heart of God. I want to take a few minutes here and talk to you about that today. Very important. We can all come and get things from God and say, Lord, I have faith. I'll get this. I have faith. But there are very few. 1% or less than 1%. Who are like the centurion who touched the heart of God. But their great faith, and the great faith comes with great humility. And the great faith comes with this great understanding. It comes with great humility, and that humility brings that understanding from God, which is, he is all powerful and he's all loving. He is all powerful. He is all loving. If Jesus being such a high power, a God with such power, who is on high over all the powers of darkness, and he listened to the centurion, and he did what the centurion asked him to do. You look at how humble Jesus was. You know, a lot of times people are humble. Here humble, there humble, but that ego is still there. If it was someone else who think they're humble or who's thinking they're humble, but then someone comes and says, once they say, I'll come to your house and heal, saying, no, I don't want to come because I feel this way. that I'm not worthy. You just say a word, and my servant shall be healed. They will say, were you to tell me what I need to do? I told you I'll come. If you don't want me to come, I'm not coming. You see the pride there.
Jesus was the opposite.
All powerful. He had power over everything. But when he saw this integrity, when he saw this faith and humility, he said, that's what you want me to do? I'll do that for you. That's what you want me to do? I'll do that for you. You see the humility, the love of Jesus Christ. There's no pride in him. There's no arrogance in him. There's no self-centeredness in him. There's no, like, what do the people think? You said you're going to go, and now he's telling you to do something. The Roman soldier's telling you to do something, and you're, no. It's what he's saying is right. It was right. He had great faith. He not only did what this Roman centurion requested Jesus to do, but he actually elevated that Roman centurion in front of all the Jewish people. He exalted his character. He said, look at this centurion. The faith that he has. See, genuine faith, God-like faith, faith that comes from God will be humble, will be gentle, will be full of love. The centurion had love for his servant. The centurion had the humility that touched Jesus. The centurion had the faith that touched Jesus. The centurion was a Roman, but yet had what it took to touch the heart of Jesus. Therefore, God Almighty not only granted his position, his petition, but he elevated him in front of the Jewish people there. And he elevated him forever and placed him in the book of all books, the Word of God. God is speaking to your heart this night. In this month of May, be someone who has the true faith that will touch the heart of God. Be someone who has that humility to go to God, to go to God's servants, to get the help that you need, just like how the centurion did. To be honest, not cover up. To be truthful about your situation so that you can be helped. To have the faith that God will touch me. God will heal me. God will answer me. Before we conclude, I want to say this very important point as the Spirit of God wants me to, which is, God has a plan. And God wants to help you. God wants to heal you. God wants to do something good for you, and he has a plan. But if you draw near to God, and you get to know him and trust him for who he is. He is this all-powerful and all-love. He is this all-power, all-love. He is this all-powerful and all-loving God. That when his time to heal comes, he can actually hear you and cut short the time, the travel time that would have taken for him to go there and heal him, to doing it then and there. What does that mean? Something that you may think that may take another 10 years, it may take another 40 years, it may take another 50 years, or it may take another 2 years. God is able to bring that even shorter, make it even shorter, if you trust him for who he is and for what he can do for you. So now the who he is all loving, all kind, all gentle, caring Jesus Christ. Trust him for what he can do for you is his power. All powerful God. He is able to turn your darkness into light. He is able to make your rough places smooth. He is able to release into your hands that which you don't have at the moment. That which you may be thinking that it can take another 5 years. God is able to do it in 5 months. He's able to. That understanding of who he is, the understanding of how powerful he is, has to sink into you, and that's what God wants you to do tonight. He's all-powerful. His will is to help you. His will is to heal you. His will is to provide for you. His will is to wipe away every tear from your eyes. That's God's will. His will is to draw you closer to himself. His will is to keep you close by his side. His will is to make you just like him. Now this Jesus, who's all loving and all powerful, that means he has the heart to help you and he has the power to help you. What a beautiful combination. He has the power to turn your darkness into light. He has the power to make your rough places smooth. If you believe that it'll take 10 years and he will do it within 10 years, then he will do it within 10 years because you're believing that can be done. So that's faith. It'll take 10 years. But if you believe that he can do it much faster than that, then he will do it for you, according to your faith, within his sovereign will. He will do it for you. He will do it for you, depending on your faith, depending on what you believe about him, and how he expressed that faith of what you really believe about him. What he can do for you will produce the results in your life for you to be able to see the handiwork of God, the handwriting of God, the words of power, the words of life over your dead circumstances. To bring to life that which was dead and gone. To restore to you that which the locust has taken. To change everything at a rapid pace. God is asking you this question this night. Do you believe? Do you believe that he is able to, not according to your timeline, not according to your calculation, but he can do it much faster? Do you believe that? Do you believe that he loves you so much that he wants to help you? Do you believe that he loves you so much that he wants to grant to you that which you are asking him for? If you can answer these two questions, if so, how much do you believe? He wants to come and do a miracle for you. But can you take it a step further? Can you believe that God is able to speed up the process? of healing. He's able to speed up the process of divine health. He's able to speed up the process of divine provision. He's able to speed up that which needs to be sped up. But you need to have faith for it. Do you believe that he can do the impossible in your life? If you believe it'll come in a train and it'll take a while, then it will come in a train because you're believing that it's coming. So if you think that your blessing is coming in a train, it'll come in a train. But if you believe he's able to do it in lightning speed, then that's what he will do. I'm going to read this last verse, verse 13. Then he said to the centurion, after lifting him up in front of all the people, he said to the centurion, go your way, and as you have believed, so let it be done for you. He told him that. This guy was the guy who came and asked him for a miracle. Now he's telling this guy, it'll be done according to what you believe. Once the word was given to him, because he brought the prayer request to Jesus, the word was released to him. The healing took place for that man because this person stood in the gap for that person. God is speaking to our hearts today. In the midst of that which is impossible, in the midst of that which looks dead, in the midst of that which looks tormented, in the midst of that which looks gone, extinct totally, in the midst of that which is absent, in the midst of that which is lifeless, do you believe that God can do a miracle for you? Not just here, but here. Do you believe that God can do a miracle for you? If you believe that he can do a miracle for you, how are you showing God that you really believe? You just say it here, but your actions are different. That means it's not here. It needs to come here. God wants you to rise up in faith. God wants you to climb up in faith. God wants you to soar higher in faith. This God has brought you into his presence today. On this first day, this month of May, the Lord says, I can speed things up for you. This is a prophetic word God is giving. Each time it is prophetic, as you know. You need to have faith even to hold on to this. God is able to speed up the process for you, as he did for this man. Instead of going from point A to point B, he just said a word and it was done. According to his faith. God is asking you this question. Do you believe that God is able to cut down the time? He's able to cut down the process. He's able to bypass the norm and do something extraordinary for you. I'm going to repeat this question again before we go into prayer. Do you believe that God is able to cut down the time, bypass the norm, and do a miracle for you? I'm going to repeat it one more time. Do you believe that God is able to cut down the time, bypass the norm, and do a miracle for you? Shall we pray? Thank you, Father. Father, I thank you, Lord, for this first day of this new month that you graciously gave to us. Oh, you are all powerful God. There's no limit to your power, Lord. There's no limit to your power. The winds and the waves, they obey you. Every sickness, they bow down before you. Everything in this world and everything that is out of this world, they are in subjection. They are in subjection to you. Hallelujah. Yet, you're full of love. You're full of mercy. You're full of compassion. You want to help. You want to heal. You want to provide. You want to expand. Or you want to cut short the time. Hallelujah. You want to bypass the norm. You want to give and increase for your people. You want to do extraordinary things in the lives of those who have extraordinary faith. So I ask you this hour, Holy Spirit, that you touch your people. Touch every single one here. Each and every single one here who is diligent in receiving that which you have for them. Who is here because being at your feet is important to them. That everything that is within them is given over to Jesus Christ, the loving Good Shepherd, who ever so gently leads his flock. Hallelujah. Oh, the loving Good Shepherd. Hallelujah. Who ever so lovingly feeds his flock. Hallelujah. Oh, how you brought the centurion into your kingdom. And you told your people, people like these, they will sit right next to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Hallelujah. People like these will sit right next to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Simple, childlike faith, yet the wisdom to understand the operation of God in the spirit realm. Hallelujah. Only those who are humble and have that childlike heart will receive that wisdom from God about the supernatural realm of God. So the Spirit of God is encouraging you to give yourself over to humility. To give yourself over to the working of the Holy Spirit so that he can lift you up and move you from one level of faith to the other. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Give yourself over to the Lord at this hour. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Tell the Lord, oh Jesus, I give myself over to you. To becoming just like you, Jesus. To be tender like you. To never to put anyone down. To always encourage and lift another up. I want to be just like you, Jesus. Tell the Lord. Humble. To be able to listen. And to be able to follow through with the plan of God. Tell the Lord, I want to be just like you, Lord. Have the faith that you're looking for. Tell the Lord, Jesus, let me be like the centurion person who was able to touch your heart. Many came and touched the garment of Jesus. Many came and had Jesus touch them and received the healings, but this man touched the heart of God. And God more than what he asked or imagined. Not only did his servant get healed, but he was exalted by the word of God, the Creator God, right there in the midst of all the people. And in the book of all books, the word of God, forever to be remembered, his faith, forever to be remembered. The commendation that came from God towards this man for his faith, forever to be remembered. It was permanently inscribed in the book of all books. Hallelujah. Tell the Lord, let me know you more. Let me understand you better, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Tell the Lord, tell the Lord. Let me have that trust in you, who you are, and what you can do for me. To be childlike in faith, in simplicity, in humility, so that I can grow all the more in you, Jesus. Hallelujah. To value the presence of God, to value the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. To value what you're doing, so that I can gain understanding of you. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for this word that you gave to your people today. Did you care for the needs of your people? At the same time, you see who has the faith to receive that which you want to give to each one of your people. Thank you, Lord. So I pray that you will cause your people to know you more, so they can trust you more. Cause each one, Father, to grow in faith, to be stronger in the ways of the living God. That nothing may shake their faith, that no one bring them down. Let no disease, no death sentence, no failure, no loss take their confidence in you. May their confidence be upon you and may only get stronger and stronger. That they may experience greater and greater miracles in their lives, Father. As a servant standing in the presence of God, before the throne of God, according to the power and authority given to me by the Almighty God, I bless your people with this blessing that you alone can bless them at this hour. That they may not be weak in faith, they may be strong in faith, and they may touch the heart of God and cause God Almighty to cut short the duration of what they're waiting for. That they may hasten that which God wants to do by extending their hands of faith to touch his heart. That they may receive the commendation that comes from the living God, thereby be exalted by God, others to walk in the footsteps of humility, faith, and confidence in the nature of the living God. I thank you for doing this. In Jesus' most precious name, I pray. Amen. May the Lord bless us and keep us. May the Lord cause his face to shine upon us and be gracious to us. May the Lord lift up his countenance upon us and bless us with his peace. May the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, may the love of God the Father, and the sweet fellowship of his Holy Spirit rest and remain with us all now until we see Jesus face to face. Amen. Amen.